Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 11 of Isaiah, and I will begin by reading it, and we'll come back and talk about it and see what God has for us in it. Verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lay down together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time, again the second time, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up the ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversary of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, and they shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. With his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it with the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt." There's all kinds of symbolism in this place, in this chapter. Amazing, amazing symbolism. But to start this chapter, we have to realize that something happened in the last chapter. And what happened in the last chapter, I'm going to start in the 33rd verse, or the last couple of verses. It says, "Behold, the Lord of hosts shall lop the bow and with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. And he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one." We're talking about God doing the work. And that's the thing nobody pays attention to. The churches want to tell you, you got to do it. He's telling you he's going to do all the whacking down, doesn't it? He's going to cut down, cut the thickets out. And we talked last time about the thickets being all the mess in humanity, because the forest representing humanity. And Lebanon, the white mountain, the self-righteousness, will fall by a mighty one. Or not a mighty one, but the mighty one, Christ. Correct? Now, we know this is going to happen. And when this happens, now this brings about a response. To each action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, right? So God did something, and by him taking the thickets out, chopping down the pride and self-righteousness and all those carnal things out of humanity, out of the forest, now comes forth something. And out of that shall come forth a rod. And that rod, who do you think that rod is? It's the Christ. Okay, it could be, some people want to say, well, that was Jesus. But Jesus was the first of many brethren, wasn't he? We're part of that also. Out of the stem of Jesse. Jesse's name means I possess. But Jesse was the father of who?
David.
David. Okay? And that's where the seed of Christ came through, wasn't it? Same thing. And a branch, and guess who that branch is?
It's the Christ.
It's the Christ, but it's the many-membered Christ. Okay? Remember he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He put it right back on us. He is a branch, but we are too, aren't we? So we're talking about the Christ shall grow out of his root. Out of the root of Jesse is going to come forth the Christ. And that's out of us too. No different, is it? We're no different than when the man Jesus walked, the man David walked, the man Adam walked. It all come from God. Everything that was done is done by God. He's the one to take care of everything. And didn't Jesus say it was finished on the cross? Then what can we add to finished? Nothing. Okay, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And I really don't like the sound of it resting upon him. That's the carnal way of the Old Testament, the way they translated that word. Where is it at? It's in him. See, it's in you. It's in me, isn't it? There's nothing external. See, they always want to point to the external. But it's in him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding don't rest upon you, does it? It's in your mind. It's inside of your spirit. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge, and not the fear of the Lord, but the reverence of the Lord. The word right there is yira, and it's 3374, and it means reverence. It's the reverence of God. And that shall make him quick. And see, and those things that rest in within him shall make him a what?
Delight.
Quick understanding, it says. What did yours say?
Delight.
The third verse? Okay, literally it should say it would make him perceptive. See, when the Spirit of the Lord rests within you and you realize it, the wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and reverence of God, it will make you perceptive. Do you see the response there?
But you're
working out of His knowledge and understanding of things makes you very perceptive. Mm-hmm. Do you see the response to it? When those things happen in your life, it makes you very perceptive. Most people don't see things that you see once God begins to work in your life. Only the ones He's working with can see it. But with righteousness, quick understanding or perceptive in the reverence of the Lord, and He shall not judge after the sight of His eyes, neither reprove the hearing of His ears. So it's not what you see and hear externally, but it's what you see and hear internally.
Through
the Christ. That's what verse 4 is saying. But with righteousness, and He is righteousness, He don't have righteousness, He didn't possess righteousness, He was righteousness. So guess what you are?
The same.
You're the same thing. You are righteousness. And you with righteousness shall He judge the poor and decide justly for the afflicted of the earth. Let me read it again. But with righteousness shall He judge the poor and decide justly for the meek or the afflicted of the earth. And He shall smite the earth, not the spirit, but the earth, the flesh, with the rod, that's with authority, of His mouth. All power was given unto Him, true or false. All power. And guess who else it was given to? But if you don't understand it, and God's not going to give you the keys to unlock that authority and power until we grow up, is He? We can't turn a child loose with that kind of authority. You got to grow up, mature. And with the breath of His lips shall He slay the wicked. Proverbs 2:20 and 21 says something. I'm going to turn there and read it just for a second, so we get it right. I don't want to miscalculate it, even one word. Went right past it. There. Proverbs 2:20 and 21, or 21:22, excuse me. Because the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Does that sound like what he said right there? The wicked will be cut off by the power and authority of the Word of God. God said it. Guess what? It's going to happen in His time. And the righteous shall be the girdle or the belt of his loins, and the faithfulness of the belt of his loins. His waist and his loins there. For loins, it says loins should be waist, and where it says reins, it should be loins. I don't know why they mistranslate that way, but they are just excellent at it, twisting things around. So he's just saying the righteousness shall be what holds him together. What is his boundaries is righteousness. It says the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. That beast is going to lay down with that that nasty beast with the mild beast. They're going to lay down together. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the little goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And that's not true. That word little is unimportant. An insignificant or unimportant child shall lead. Did Jesus say, I did not come to be served, but I come to be the servant? And that's what he's talking about. To be a true servant, you can't be searching for approval of man.
Gratitude of self? Can't be gratitude of self.
No, you can't be feeding that beast in yourself. You've got to let it go. It's not about that. It's do what you got to do and go on. I got a friend that recently, just this time of year, he'll take the lead. If he sees me do something, he'll copy it. And that's not the answer. You don't do what I do. You do what you're supposed to do. And if I see someone needing something and I just gave someone money, I should do that too. And he gave him the same amount of money I did. Well, they didn't really need it. What I gave him was suffice. The second now you're going to feed the beast. And somebody needed something, in another county, and someone told him about it, and he's pretty well to do. And so he went out and bought a whole bunch of stuff to take to him. But then he went around telling everybody he sees, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing. I've done this. I mean, it's all about look what I'm doing. It's not about helping the person. It's look how good I am, That's not what it's about. Do it, forget about it. Don't even worry about it.
That's what I was saying, the self-gratification.
Right. And that's what I was expounding on. I mean, people do that and they don't even realize they do it because that beast within man always wants to exalt self. That's just the natural man. And that's not what it's about at all. But they still continue to do that. And I've heard it a whole bunch of times, believe me, and I ain't through hearing it. I'm going to hear about it for a while yet. Because he feels that was really a wonderful thing he did, But
it is, but he's negating it.
Right, he's destroying it by what he's doing.
For wrong reasons. He did it for praise, not because...
To help the person. Yep. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. That's why I say I'll hear it a lot yet. I'm tired of hearing it already.
Well, if you see in the church...
That's what they do.
Same thing.
Sure it is. Look how many people we fed. Feed them. Quit wasting money on a billboard telling people what you did and take that money and feed somebody else. Just ignorance. But that's humanity. Okay, where'd I leave off? Seven, okay. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. So it's saying, when God's nature... And this is the thing, and everybody's trying to make this a natural thing about a cow laying down with a lion or whatever. That's not what we're talking about. There's a positive and negative in most things, correct? There's a lion of the tribe of Judah. We know that was talking about Jesus or the Christ. And there was a devil who walked around as a roaring lion, okay? So there's a positive and negative here. And we have to realize that that's what it's talking about, that the cow and the bear. The cow is a docile creature. Still a beast. And the bear is a very violent creature. But he's saying those two things will lie together because of the Christ. Do you think he's really talking about a bear and a cow?
No, he's talking about the carnal mind.
The nature of the carnal mind and the peaceable beast like the lamb or the cow or the calf or whatever, And all those are all speaking basically the same things back and forth, all these different animals. It's the negative and positive lying down together in the presence of God. In the presence of God, that negative becomes part of what God's using.
Submitted.
It submits to God whatever He wants. Absolutely. So we're not looking at it in a way, in a natural way. We're understanding that when God gets a hold of our lives, all this stuff goes on really is immaterial because God's power and authority supersedes everything the natural beast can do. He created the natural beast. Okay, now verse 8. And the babies, this would say sucking babies, shall play on the hole of the asp. That's not exactly what it says. It should say the sucking babies, the children, okay? That's the first and second days, in Passover and Pentecostal experiences of our life. Take delight in playing, or take delight in the den of the asp or the viper. I mean, they like it. Do you know how many people like being in the misery they're in? And they love company to be there with them? they wouldn't come out of the hole. They want you to, they want to drag you in the hole, into that viper's den. And the weaned child, he shall put his hand up on the what? The viper's what?
Den is what
this means. That's not right. That word is light hole. L-I-G-H-T-H-O-L-E. Now, if a viper is in a hole, guess where he's at?
Right there, right.
He's looking at that little bit of light. Don't you know that represents us? It says, and the weaned child, that's the grown-up child, shall put his hand on the hole. I'm going to draw you a picture up here. Okay? Let me get some of this stuff off this board. Yeah, right here. Watch this. So here's the ground, and we're going to say this is the hole right here, and this is the den down under the ground, and the viper is a snake, okay? And he's sitting there looking, and this is his hole right here. This is his light hole. He has a connection to something. He's in the dark, but that's his ambush point. What do you think that viper represents? It's the carnal mind. But the weaned child, that's the one. Remember in Isaiah, it says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast and weaned from the milk. The weaned child is the one that's going to learn knowledge. Right? So the weaned child will put his hand here. Guess what he just did?
Shut off the carnal mind with his works.
Absolutely. By what God instilled in him, he put his hand on that hole. There's no more light for the snake. What can the snake do? Think about somebody else. Paul, who got bit by the viper and shook it off. Say, you know that this thing, this viper in this hole called humanity, this carnal thinking, has no authority over you. And when you realize that, you can put your hand on it, and if he bites you, just shake it off and go on. Because you know that thing has no poison in it. It's only in those that have not been weaned, have not grown up and not matured, that realize that that thing can hurt them. Can it hurt you? No. It can't hurt you. Don't worry about it. It's already been taken care of. Nothing can harm you. Didn't he say if you're bit by a snake, the shake it won't harm you? Huh? Scripture says that. And we're not talking about natural snakes. I know there's those snake worshippers that play with that stuff. No, 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 no. It's not what we're talking about. Kill them things. Ain't playing with no snakes and telling me you got faith. That's stupid. God is. But anyway, he'll put his hand over the light hole. The mature sons will put their hand on the light hole. And all they're doing is saying, my works will cover up that carnal mind. They won't listen to it. Didn't Jesus say in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow? And this is the same thing. We're going to realize who's telling us what to do. We don't care what the external source is. It's the internal source that feeds and supplies everything we need. Maturity. Look at verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Didn't say plural mountains. It said my mountain, Mount Zion. Third day. Tabernacles. Whatever you want to say. Because the earth shall be full. Now, what earth are we talking about? You think you're talking about this globe? No. Talking about your body, yourself, this earth you are. It'd be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the what? The water covers the sea, or humanity. And the sea is humanity, isn't it? So you got nothing to worry about. It can't hurt you because he said, they shall not hurt nor destroy. Those vipers that's in the pits, what can they do to you? Nothing. When you understand it.
Aren't those the same as the cherubim?
Sure, it's the cherubim that lie to you and twist and pervert everything in your head. All those voices that talk to you, they can't touch you because God said so. When he said, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain, know you not that you're the holy mountain? We're the tabernacle of the living God? Yeah, on into verse 10. And in that day, and what day might that be? It's the day of the Lord, which is right now. There shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign. What do you think that ensign is? I can't hear you.
Banner?
Well, but it's the cross. It was on the hill of Golgotha when they hung him up as a banner, okay, as an ensign, as a sign for the people. See, Jesus died on that cross for one reason, to be a sign to the people. The book says he was a lamb slain before the foundation or the conception of the world. True? Okay, if he was slain before the conception of the world, the only purpose for him to go on that hill in front of those eyes 2,000 years ago was for the people to see what God had already done, because they didn't believe him. There's the ensign. That's what it was. To it shall the Gentiles seek. So he didn't say the religious folk could get there, did he? But the heathens are going to say, hey, I want some of that. And his rest shall be glorious. And Hebrews chapter 4 says something about that. Be right there in a second. Let me read you something out of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it.
What verse was that?
Chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, or reverence, lest a promise being left to us of entering into his rest, any of you should, or just leave that should out, any of you seem to come short of it, or fall short of it. See, we don't want to fall short of it, do we? So we got to, and it's reverence he's talking about, just like he was talking about in this chapter, reverence. It's about the reverence. And it shall come to pass, verse 11, in that day, that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time. Do you think he's talking about putting a hand out there somewhere? Mm-hmm. He's talking about his new covenant. He's going to set his covenant a second time, okay? To recover the remnant or the first fruit of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and from the islands of the sea or humanity. And all those things, he just saying, I'm going to cover the whole thing. You can split all those words down, and there's really no need to. He's going to cover everything. I don't care what direction, north, south, east, west, top, bottom, underneath, overhead. He's going to get them all.
No respecter of person.
Absolutely. And verse 12, he goes on and says, and he. Now notice who's doing everything. It's the he or the him, or it's his, right? Did anything here say you have to do it?
No.
That's the picture. I cannot believe people can't see. It's not about what you do. It's what he has done and what he's going to do for you to set everything up. But verse 12 says, and he shall set up the cross for the nations. He said he's already done that, hasn't he? This was done and now we're hearing about it. And shall assemble the outcasts of Israel. See, did it say you were going to gather everybody up? Did it say you're going to go out and tell everybody to come to church or they go to hell? See? He said, he shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. He didn't tell me to go do any of that stuff. And he didn't tell anybody else either. He's going to take care of it. The envy also of Ephraim, and Ephraim speaks of duality, shall depart, and the adversary, not plural, the adversary of Judah shall be cut off. What's the adversary of Judah? The carnal mind. That's all it is. It's not about some weird thing. It's about just a very simple thing. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. Simple as that. Now, we're talking about 2 days here. Okay? Judah and Ephraim. Judah is the overcoming sons. Ephraim is still in duality. Ephraim speaks of what? Two. Duality. That's still the second day, Pentecost. Judah is the overcomers. Jesus was of the line of the tribe of Judah, correct? Not Ephraim. And remember, that's a picture right there of the new covenant. It's just the first and second days is all it is. It's a picture of the covenant. Before, there was three covenants, right? And there was Passover, Pentecost, tabernacles. There was outer court, holy place, holy of holies. In the new tabernacle, the new covenant, there's only holy place and holy of holies, right?
Yeah, Hebrews 8, 9 through 13.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 9, yeah. 8 through 13 there.
Yeah, okay.
And in verse 14 it said, but they shall fly up on the shoulders of the Philistines. Who's going to fly on the shoulders of the Philistines? Judah and Ephraim. See, the new covenant will take care of it. But they shall fly upon the shoulders speak of responsibility of the Philistines toward the west. What does the west speak of? Speaks of the sea. To the west of them was a sea, and it speaks of humanity. They shall spoil them of the east. That speaks of the religious ones together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom. Edom is the word Adama. And Moab. What's Moab? Flesh. See? The incestuous descendants of Lot. It's the flesh. And the children of Amnon, or what? They're the descendants of Lot also, shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. What would that mean? The tongue of the Egyptian sea. He'll shut the tongue up, the mouth of the worldly people. Because the Egyptian is the world, Egypt is the world, and the sea is humanity, isn't it? So he's going to shut up the mouth of the natural man, the carnal man. And with his mighty wind, what is that?
Holy Spirit.
The Spirit of God. Shall he shake his hand over the river and shall smite it in the seven streams, kind of like the Sevenites in the land, same process. And make men go over dry shod. Literally it says go over in sandals. Not a bad way to walk in the summertime. But to go over dry shod. What is that like? Just like when Moses came out of Egypt, they come to the sea. He held his staff out over top of it with the authority of God, direction of God. And it dried up and everybody walked over on dry land. Who was Moses a type of?
Christ.
He's telling you the same picture. God's already prepared the way. He's going to make it when you come to the water. You're going to see the water, and if you have any faith as a gift of God, you're going to say, that water don't exist. I'm walking over on dry ground. And the rest of them are going to stand there huddled by the water and wait for the Egyptians to take them. It's that simple. It's the same pattern God has shown us from the beginning. And it's not changed. It'll continue to come that way. And look at verse 16. And there shall be a highway. Literally what that thing says, there's a raised or higher way. That means there's a way farther, higher spiritually in a realm that you can't see in the natural mind. For the remnant of his people. Notice it wasn't for everybody, was it? It's not for everybody till after the remnant has been picked. The first fruit has to be picked first. Then the rest can come in. For the remnant of his people, which shall be left. He said, there's going to be a remnant left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came out of the land of Egypt. See, what do we got to do in all this?
Nothing.
All we got to do is follow the patterns and stay with God. It's that simple. And how difficult has the church made it? In the book of Luke, Jesus warned us about the lawyers. And he wasn't talking about the ones over in the courthouse. He was talking about the ones that played with the law of Moses and put all the burdens upon the people who wouldn't enter in, and they hindered everybody in that was trying to go in, and they wouldn't touch one of their burdens with their finger. They wouldn't assist them in any way. All they wanted to do was take from them. And we got the same thing today. It's not changed one bit. All I want you to do is see that God has provided everything for you. It's all internal. Nobody can take it away from you. The only thing that can hinder you is you. That's all it is. No flowery endings. I'm just done. Anybody got any questions, comments, whatever?